Welcome to the Boston Sports Journal podcast. Our guest this week is Terry Francona, manager of the Cleveland Indians. Tito, I know a lot of people back in Boston, first and foremost. You've been back a couple times in the last couple of weeks, but I know I get asked all the time, how's your health? It's not been the easiest year for you. That's sort of typical for you, sadly, with all the things that you've dealt with, but how you doing?
I was going to say, it hasn't been easy, just a decade. I'm okay. You know, I had some issues where, you know, my heart was racing on me, and people that have had it, which you come to find out a lot of people have, man, it makes you feel like the lights are going to go out, which is not a good feeling. But they, you know, if you're going to get sick, and I've had two places where I've been a Mass General or Cleveland Clinic, my goodness sakes, you know, it's the world's best care. And I'm actually doing pretty good. I'm swimming a little bit and walking, and, you know, they say to try to stay stress-free. You know, this is quite the environment to try to do that.
You've been back, as I said, to Boston a couple of times, a two-game series and then a one-game makeup in the middle of a road trip last week. I was struck the first time you came back when you came out to make a pitching change. I don't recall a lot of opposing managers getting near-standing ovations for coming out and making a pitching change for the other team. You're obviously still very much revered and liked in Boston. What's your experience now with some distance going back and how people treat you and how it feels to be back in Boston?
You know, it's funny, Sean, you mentioned that, because when I was coming off the field, you know, you're so wrapped up in the game, and we were losing, but I could hear it, and I didn't know what to do. It kind of, you know, here, you know, we're losing the game, and I'm with another team, but it kind of touched me, and it really did. I just didn't know how to respond. I didn't know how to act. The farther you get away from maybe the things that hurt, and especially because I'm so comfortable here, it makes it a lot easier to remember the good. And there was a lot of good. I mean, my goodness, you can't spend 8 years in a place and win a couple times, and, you know, the and have so many relationships that are so special that it's easier to remember that now.
Was there a turning point, Tito, in terms of perspective on your Boston experience? When you left, obviously, it did not end well. You were unhappy, correctly, with how things were handled in some respects. Was there a point where you can say, okay, not perfect at the end, but I've gained some perspective with some time about your time in Boston?
Yeah, and I think with time, those things, you know, at the time it was raw. And then when the season was over, we were dealing with things that supposedly happened that we weren't dealing with during the year. And, you know, again, because of the rawness of it, it made it harder. You know, I think the best thing I did was when I took the job with ESPN, it allowed me to step back for a little while. That's a hard thing to tell yourself, but it was really good for me. And I met some really good people there, and it allowed me to stay in the game but not have the emotion of every single game, you know, meaning so much. And then towards the middle of the year, I started to miss it because I didn't for a while. And then when I started to miss it, that's when the guys from Cleveland called. And what happens is you come back, and hopefully some of the things like stubbornness or whatever, things that can happen, don't happen as much, because it doesn't make you better at your job when those things happen. And it kind of happens to all of us.
You spent 8 years in Boston with some great success. You've had this is your fifth year now in Cleveland with some playoff appearances. How different are the two experiences now that you've had a body of work here where maybe you can compare a somewhat similar period of time?
It's different in that, you know, in Boston, there's so much passion and so much excitement around every single game that you can't help but have a little bit of the other stuff that goes with it. You know, just to laugh and say you go home with a headache sometimes. But you just, there's so much passion for the Red Sox. It's a little bit different here. Now, we're doing better here. There's less media obligations. It's more baseball, which I'm fine with that. I mean, I don't think I ever had a problem with the media anywhere. It's just less taxing here, and it's more baseball. You know, it seems like there's a lot of drama in Boston all the time, and it just seems like it's less so here.
Some teams talk about having a World Series hangover when you win. You came as close as you can and still not win, to go to Game 7, extra innings. Have you experienced something of a pennant hangover here as a franchise this season? It seemed like it's taken a little while for you guys to find yourselves.
You know, and I didn't think it was a hangover, though. I thought that especially for younger guys that haven't been through it, you have to live through it. And what I mean by that is, you know, you get into October and you're pretty much the only game in not only in town but in the country, and it's almost kind of glamorous. Then you show up next April and it's 39 degrees and you're kind of grinding through it, and everybody's looking around like, hey, where's the excitement? Well, the teams that can grind through April and May and some of those games that aren't so glamorous, then you give yourselves a better chance to play in October. But it's not the same, and it's not supposed to be. It just can't be like that. But so there's a time that even if it's the same guys, you start over from a clean slate. And it took us a while to kind of find our stride. And we're still trying to do it, but I'm certainly seeing a lot more better signs that we can be a good team.
It is basically the same team that you had last year, with one significant addition in Edwin Encarnacion. There was a lot of clamor in Boston to try to maybe sign him as Ortiz's replacement. I think you guys surprised a lot of baseball by being able to get him, given your market size and payroll concerns. What's he meant to this team, Tito?
Well, but you said an interesting thing about one major acquisition, but it was also one major guy that left, and that's Napoli. And just because he's not here, I don't think it's fair to say, well, he meant a lot to us. Mm-hmm. Not just to our team, but I mean everybody. The way we played the game, you could just see so many things that you could tell he was with Pedroia for those years, because so many things that came out of his mouth, and he was so good for us. Now Edwin's here, and it's that hitter that you can kind of put it in ink. If he's healthy, he's going to have those numbers. It's been a little bit erratic getting there, but it's still getting there. And, you know, like you said, it's not really an area in the winter that we've been to very often, but that's what maybe winning can help a little bit.
You obviously got a lot of attention for the way you handled your bullpen in the postseason, moving Miller around, including bringing him in the fifth inning of the first game of the ALDS against the Red Sox last October. Could you envision that becoming something that becomes more commonplace, or does that have to be limited to short periods of time in the postseason?
You know what? It won't work like that during the season very often, or believe me, we'd do it. There are times if we have a day off coming up that we'll go to guys earlier, and they know that. But during the season, you got to get a certain amount of innings out of your starters or you're going to hurt your bullpen. Now, we have a fun bullpen to work with, and I've said that a lot of times, because we are able to be a little bit creative at times, and the guys will do it. If the guys don't accept it, it's not going to work. But these guys are willing to kind of be flexible, and I think they know that if we put them all together, they complement each other, and it'll be a better bullpen. So sometimes that means taking a guy out in the middle of an inning, bringing in maybe a left-hander. But it really has worked for us, but it works because the guys will do it.
How unique a weapon. He's hurt now for the second time with the knee injury that popped up last night. But how unique a weapon is Andrew Miller?
Oh, my goodness. It's part of the reason that we wanted him so bad. I mean, Chapman was out there, and he's as good as – but we thought with Andrew, the weapon's the best word. He'll take the ball, he just wants to pitch, and he could care less what inning, and he's really good. My goodness, I mean, and just the fact of how he rubbed off on other guys. You know, we got Cody Allen, who's our closer, coming in saying, hey, I'll pitch whenever you want me to, and Brian Shaw pitches like, if he doesn't pitch every 2 days, he breaks out in hives. You know, it's a fun bullpen. So we need to be careful with Andrew, because we need him to get where we're going, because he is such a weapon. And it's hard to be patient, but you have to, or we're not going to have him.
I was struck today, Tito, by noticing that your major league managerial career began 20 years ago this year in Philadelphia. How has the job changed, if at all, in those 20 years?
It actually has changed a lot. I mean, I was laughing. You know, when I used to have my lineup card, I did it by hand every night. And if there's a lineup change, I'd like have a heart attack, because, you know, now there's computers and there's so much stuff there's so much more information that you need to pay attention to. And I know my first year, man, I wanted us to be the hardest working team. Every pitcher had a sore arm from PFP. And now I've learned that, you know, just because you don't always take batting practice doesn't mean you're compromising you know, but sometimes, you know, we're in a stretch where we're playing 45 games in 43 days. We want our energy going for those nine innings. And along with that comes a trust of the players, because it's not that you're just trying to cut corners, because you want your team to be crisp, but so there's got to be a trust there too.
You obviously have a very close relationship with John Farrell. He almost succeeded you, except for a season in Boston. I know that you keep tabs on how the Red Sox do and keep in contact. What's that relationship like now?
It's the same as it always been. He wants to beat our brains out. We want to beat his brains out. But before and after, I mean, today we were walking in and he was there and he came in and I was showing him some blueprints and stuff about the house I'm building, and he was checking it out and looking at it. We were laughing and stuff, and he sat down on the couch for about a half hour and we're just talking about whatever. You know, there's friends that you have that you meet in baseball, and then there's friends that are for life. You know, it's like Millsy and John and DeMarlo Hale and the guys that, it doesn't matter if there's a baseball game or not, they're my friends for life.
And yet, how challenging is it to, you know, you're in the midst of playing them seven times within 3 weeks. You played them in the postseason last October. If the playoffs were to start today, you would meet again. How much strain does that put on you?
It doesn't. I admit that it's different. And, you know, because as bad as you want to win, you're playing against somebody you really care about. So if you're happy, they're not. And the roles are reversed. So it's not perfect. But it, like I said, it doesn't ever get in the way of a friendship goes beyond a win or a loss on the field.
We talked about last October and how close you got extra innings of Game 7, about as close as you can be. On the other side is Theo Epstein, who, much to your displeasure, was able to say that he was able to break two curses, as it were, one in Boston twice and then in Chicago. This is one of the teams now, your Indians, that has gone the longest in between championships. It's 63 years. That's not 84 years the way it was in 2004. But are there some similarities? Is there something you can apply to this experience to what you did in 2004 in trying to bring a franchise to to the elusive title?
You know what? What we try to do is we don't talk about that because, and I laugh all the time, I tell people here, it's not our fault, my fault, that my dad wasn't good enough to get it done. You know, it's hard enough to win. So trying to go back and undo something isn't going to work. Last year I was so proud of our guys because they gave every last thing they had and we kind of ran out of gas. And you alluded to Theo. When it was all said and done, I'd finally taken a deep breath and I was taking a shower and I heard this voice and it was Theo. And he had a suit on, and you could smell the champagne and the beer. And he came up and gave me a hug. And I remember thinking, he walked over here by himself, and it's a hard thing to pull off, and he did. And I remember thinking, not too many guys could have done that.
Can you apply some of the things you went through? I know there was more media attention. There was certainly more. It was more notorious that the Red Sox had gone 84 or 80-something years without winning 86 years. This isn't quite as long, and it's not quite as tortured a history. There weren't all those close calls, although you had one certainly last October. But can you apply something to your experience?
You know what, Sean, we did was last year was every time we started a series, we'd have a meeting. Not the Newt Rockne run through the wall meeting, but hey, here's what is going to happen. And like tickets and family and talked about if you're going to lose a game, let's try to make them use their bullpen, which almost helped us win the game with the Cubs just because guys hadn't been through it before. And we just talked about it. And we let guys like Napoli lead because they have been through it before. But when it comes down to it, it's baseball. And, you know, just you want your team to play as good as they can. And you don't want the outcome to be decided because of some exterior people pulling or noise or however you want to say it.
Tito, I appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Sean. Anytime.